Well, welcome everyone. This is Duke Clark, and this is my podcast on Stories for Joshua. Day 48, Wedding Bloopers. I was ordained to the Christian ministry on August 11th, 1974. This meant, among other things, that I could legally perform weddings, and I hit the ground running. My first wedding was shortly after my ordination, and I wanted it to be perfect. It was in a small and very old but absolutely beautiful Quaker church in the rolling hills of eastern Pennsylvania. Elegant, simple, and only close family and friends were there. At the end, the couple was taken home for the reception in a fabulous horse-drawn carriage. It was just almost fairy tale-like. It was so beautiful. Everything was going fine in the ceremony until it was time for communion. I wanted it to be authentic, so no grape juice was used, no paper-thin wafers were used. I used real wine and a beautifully baked round loaf of brown wheat bread. By tradition, you offer the bread first, which represents the broken body of Christ given for your healing. Then you offer the wine as the blood of Christ for forgiveness of sins. Well, I took the bread and broke it, like Jesus did in the scriptures, and I tore off a piece, one for the bride and one for the groom, and said again, as Jesus did, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat." The only problem was, in my haste, I had torn off a big piece for each of them. And by the time I got to the wine, bless their hearts, they were still chewing the bread. It's not like they could just spit it out. They had to chew it up and then swallow it. Thankfully, they washed it down with the wine and finally got to swallow. I believe from that time on, I only pinched off a piece of bread during the ceremony. Since there were a lot of young people in New York on my first assignment, I did a lot of weddings, and there were too many stories to cover here, but I'll give you a few. I didn't like flash pictures during the ceremony. I felt it distracted from the service, so I would usually tell people ahead of time, no pictures. The one event I remember most was when the brother of the bride decided that he would take pictures during the wedding. He did this not from his seat, which was right there by us, but he stood in the aisle so that he could get both me and, I guess, the couple, and started snapping away. Then, for some unknown reason, he decided to lay on the floor and take a picture looking up at us. By now, obviously, everyone was watching him and not the service, so I stopped what I was doing and told him to go take a seat. In Long Island, there were several places that catered mostly to weddings. You could go there and see three or four brides and bridal parties roaming around the venue. Because of this, many times they would use the same room where I did the ceremony to do the reception, which meant that while the bride and groom were out shaking hands in the outside room, they would come in, break everything down, and reset it up for the reception. I suppose that's fine for most weddings, but remember my no photos rule during the service? Well, the bridal party had left, and I saw the crew ready to tear everything down and reset the room, which I just couldn't let happen. The result was a standoff. I stood in front of the altar with the setup crew and several workers standing just opposite me, ready to pounce if I were to move, and it was a standoff until I could send somebody out to get the couple to bring them back in to take the pictures. One of the most embarrassing moments came after a prayer during the service. The etiquette, or at least the formality that we used to practice and perhaps still do, was to put the left hand on the shoulder of the groom and the right hand on the bride's head. Some reference in the scriptures about her being covered, I don't know. And then I would say my part. But when I brought my hands down, let's just say the bride was generously built. And with my eyes closed, as I brought my hands down, I grazed her breast. She was shocked. I was totally shocked. But as they say, the show must go on. So I acted as though it didn't happen, and I kept moving through the ceremony. I did both my sons' weddings, which blessed me very much. For my oldest son, we were at a beautiful place in the Virginia mountains, and I did this ceremony with just me officiating. For my youngest son, his wife-to-be was Roman Catholic, so I did the service with the most wonderful priest, who happened to also be the chaplain for the New York Jets football team, so that was a total blast. I also did a Roman Catholic wedding for the daughter of a very close friend of mine in North Carolina. This priest was a Franciscan monk with full robe, rope belt, and sandals. And we hit it off beautifully. What a character. I loved that guy. If he were not being transferred the following week, he said that he would have invited me to teach in his church on Sunday morning. How amazing is that? Several times when I offered communion at weddings, I would use the communion set I've pictured below. This was my granddaddy's communion set that he took around with him on his circuit riding for the Methodist Church in the mountains of North Carolina. That was very significant for me to be able to do that, which he had done also many years ago. Well, I could go on for pages, but that's enough for now, and I'll have something else to say tomorrow.